Thank you for subscribing and listening to the CERT News Podcast. This episode of the podcast goes with the March issue of the CERT News that is located at www.unf.edu/cert/newsletters.
This is Jessica Hardin, Educational Media Coordinator in CERT, and in this edition of the Faculty Spotlight, we're going to be talking about using 3D printed models in class. Our featured faculty member is Jason John, Department of Art and Design. Painting One introduces students to the techniques, concepts, and history of painting through direct observational study. Professor Jason John was interested in creating an assignment for his summer Painting One class that would allow students to explore painting on three-dimensional models. In this class, students recreate portraits from art history. The portraits on 3D printed heads will be put into cardboard backdrops to provide an environment. Students will replicate the form on the figure while replicating the environment in the backdrop from the original painting. Once both substrates are painted on, the entire system will replicate the painting the student will be attempting to copy. John consulted with CERT to explore whether the 3D printer could create paintable models for the assignment. CERT assisted John in locating a suitable model of a human head on Thingiverse, a website database with thousands of free printable 3D models. A suitable model was identified and CERT printed a prototype for testing. The initial print took 12 to 14 hours because the model was configured to print the head as a solid piece rather than using infill, a honeycomb pattern of supports used on the interior of a 3D print to save material and time. CERT staff modified the model to be primarily hollow with some interior supports, reducing the print time to roughly 4.5 hours. Objects are not ready to be painted immediately after they have been printed. First, the heads were covered with self-leveling acrylic dispersion. Once the dispersion dried, John would sand and repeat this process about 3 times. He found that some of the more brittle acrylic gels would just crack apart, so he had to find a more flexible dispersion. Once the surface of the head was made smooth, John applied Golden Acrylic Gray 6 to the head and sanded once again. After this process, oil paint layers are ready to apply. Students can add heavy paint texture to the head if they so desire. The painting process will be a similar procedure to painting on a flat surface, but the student will have to compensate for the 3D form. John reviewed and approved the prototype, and CERT printed 20 models over the course of 3 weeks for use in the course. He is having the students paint on 3D forms so they better understand molding of light form when painting on a 2D surface. If this project works out, he plans to apply the principle to his painting course every year. Eventually, he hopes to exhibit the heads in the library gallery. If you are interested in using 3D printing or 3D models in your teaching and research, please contact us at certlab@unf.edu.
This is Deb Miller, Director in CERT, and in this edition of the newsletter, I'd like to talk about Open Educational Resources, or OER. Since 2006, the cost of college textbooks has increased to 88%, compared with an increase of 21% for all other items, according to the Consumer Price Index. The cost of textbooks puts college students at risk of falling behind. A 2016 survey of more than 20,000 Florida college students found that textbook prices caused 67% of them to not purchase a required textbook, 26% to drop a course, and 20% to fail a course. UNF's OER initiative is a joint project by the Center for Instruction and Research Technology and the Thomas G. Carpenter Library that seeks to lower college costs for UNF students by encouraging UNF faculty to adopt quality, open resources in their courses. These resources have no or a very low cost. The goals of the collaboration are to lower student costs by eliminating expensive instructional materials when possible, to support faculty experimentation with OER, and to assist faculty in finding and using academically equivalent OER content. In an initial call in 2017, we sought proposals focused on adoption of existing OER materials, such as peer-reviewed open texts and licensed content from the library for designated courses. 9 UNF faculty members submitted proposals and are currently working to adopt OER materials in a course. In future years, we anticipate expanding the call to include proposals for authoring open text or courseware. To learn more about this initiative, please visit the UNF Open Educational Resources Initiative page. You'll find the link in the online edition of this newsletter. We're also interested in developing a steering group to guide the initiative's future development. If you have interest or experience in this area and are willing to serve, please contact me.
This is Jessica Hardin, Educational Media Coordinator in CERT, and in this edition of Digital Thinking, we will be talking about the Accessibility Checker in Microsoft Office. Microsoft Office products have a built-in accessibility checker that assists in making sure your documents are accessible to your viewers. This is an excellent first step in making sure your documents are as accessible as possible. Next, we will talk about a brief overview of the tool, followed by several examples of common accessibility issues broken down by document type. The Accessibility Checker functions similarly in Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, and Excel. One of the best features is that the tool not only checks your document for accessibility issues, it also tells you why it is important to fix these issues and gives you step-by-step instructions on how to fix each issue. The tool can be accessed by going to the Review tab at the top of Word, PowerPoint, and Excel, and then selecting Check Accessibility. The Accessibility Checker will open in a pane on the right-hand side of the document. Under Inspection Results, you will see a list of errors. When you click on the error, it will highlight it in the document so that it is easy for you to locate and make the appropriate changes. Beneath the Inspection Results box, you will see more information about the error. The Why Fix It section explains why it is important to fix the error. The Steps to Fix section provides step-by-step instructions on how to make the necessary changes to fix the error. Once the error is fixed, it disappears from the Inspection Results box. Now let's talk about some common accessibility issues. Missing alternative text. This error occurs when a picture, chart, or graph does not have alternative text added to it. Alternative text is important for anyone accessing your document who may be using a screen reader, as it will read the text to describe the image. Unnamed sheets in Excel. Excel names sheets by number as default, for example, sheet 1, sheet 2, and so on. This can be confusing for those using screen readers because the text is not reflective of the content. It is important to rename your sheets with relevant titles and delete unused sheets to avoid confusion. Read order for slides in PowerPoint. When you create objects such as a text box, image, or title and add it to a slide in PowerPoint, it is assigned a default read order. This is the order in which the object will be read by a screen reader. The default read order is often confusing as it is determined in part by when the object is added. It does not automatically read from top to bottom or left to right. By mindfully changing the read order on your slides, you can ensure that screen readers convey the information in the correct order. For more information about using Microsoft's built-in accessibility checker, please contact Jessica Hardin at jessica.hardin@unf.edu.
Hello, my name is Rosie Parlett and I'm an instructional designer. And this is Best Practices Online, using Canvas tools to promote a community of inquiry. One of the most challenging aspects of teaching online is finding ways to encourage student collaboration and build a sense of community. Since instructors and students do not see each other in person, the community aspect of online courses can often be lost. For an online course to effectively engage students, the instructor must intentionally construct most of the interactions that will take place. The Community of Inquiry model offers a useful framework for building strong learning communities in online courses. An educational community of inquiry is a group of individuals who collaboratively engage in purposeful, critical discourse and reflection to construct personal meaning and confirm mutual understanding. The Community of Inquiry model aims to create collaborative groups of learners through the advancement of three interconnected components: social, cognitive, and teaching presence. This article will discuss how tools in Canvas can be utilized to promote the model's three elements. Social presence. Social presence is the ability of participants to identify with the community or the course of study, communicate purposefully in a trusting environment, and develop interpersonal relationships by way of projecting their individual personalities. Setting the climate. The syllabus tool. This Canvas feature can be used to outline guidelines for how students will be expected to engage with each other and to encourage a climate of mutual respect. Stating netiquette standards for student communication are also useful in explaining how students are to interact with sensitive topics that may be discussed during the course. Fostering a sense of belonging. The profile tool. This tool allows students to share a personal biography and links to other online resources such as a personal website or blog. The rich content editor. Encourage students to use this feature to record a personal summary and share it with an introductory discussion. Students will form distinct impressions of each other and will develop a deeper personal connection with their peers. SpeedGrader. This tool can be used to create a two-way conversation between students and an instructor regarding assignments and feedback. Peer review. The student-to-student communication device opens up a channel of discussion where students can communicate about assignments and clarify each other's feedback. Communication between students. Discussions. This Canvas tool can be used to create conversations around a topic or prompt that can be mediated by an instructor. Collaboration. Groups. Instructors can use this tool to create collaborative mini sites where students can work together on projects. The cognitive presence. The cognitive presence is the extent to which learners are able to construct and confirm meaning through sustained reflection and discourse. Constructing meaning. Embedding videos in discussions. Embed videos in a discussion board prompt to trigger prior knowledge and give students with divergent views a starting point for discussion. ARC. This discussion tool gives instructors and students the ability to discuss course content using video. In ARC's interface, students and instructors interact with media by commenting on specific points on a recording's timeline. Students can learn from each other's observations as well as from their instructor's feedback and guidance. Pages. Instructors and students can use Pages to collect resources related to course topics. Pages can also be used for modeling assignment expectations for students. ePortfolio. This tool can be used for work revision as students submit different versions of an assignment. In addition, ePortfolios can be used to gauge student understanding of course topics, give opportunities to use critical thinking skills, and stimulate reflection of essential concepts. The SpeedGrader. Students have the opportunity to reflect on feedback provided to them by their instructor. They can then use this feedback to improve their work products. This tool also allows instructors to see growth over time as students submit revised versions of an assignment. The teaching presence. Teaching presence is the design, facilitation, and direction of cognitive and social processes for the purposes of realizing personally meaningful and educationally worthwhile learning outcomes. Organization of content and direction throughout the learning process. The modules. This tool allows instructors to create a linear work path and moderate when students are accessing content, activities, and assignments. The modules feature gives instructors the ability to aggregate different tools into one module. By setting prerequisites and requirements, students access material in a path that was purposely constructed for them by their instructor. In addition, students become aware of the course's structure and learn which tools they will be using during the course. Evaluation and reflection. Surveys and ungraded quizzes. Instructors can gather valuable student feedback using surveys. This information can be used to improve future iterations of courses. Ungraded quizzes, such as a student orientation quiz, can be used to clarify and reinforce an instructor's expectations and emphasize important course-related information. If you would like more information about how to use Canvas tools to cultivate a community of inquiry in your online or hybrid course, please contact a member of the instructional design team.
Thank you for listening. For questions or comments, please visit us on the web. Have a great day.